Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Heart and Soul, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. I'm Beth Scanzani, your host today, and joining me December 8th, 2010, is my very purposeful guest, Marge Patini. And Marge is going to share some of her insights today on a show titled Lessons from Provence, My Path to Authenticity. Marge, thanks so much for being with us today. Would you like to greet our listeners?
Oh, thank you, Beth. I'm so excited to be here and to share my lessons from Provence. Thank you.
I can't wait to hear more. Actually, I wish we could be in Provence listening, but maybe some of our listeners are. Jory is away. Jory Fisher is away today at the Seven Conference in Fairfax, Virginia, with her colleague Julie Fleming. She checked in this morning, and I know that she's going to be listening on the archived recording. Hi, Jory. So I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you, and especially those of you who might be listening to Heart and Soul for the very first time. We hope that you will all help us to spread the word about Heart and Soul. We feel that this is a really purposeful radio show. We love it. We hope you love it. And if you do, maybe you would mark Heart and Soul as a favorite by clicking the little red heart on our Blog Talk Radio show page. Or perhaps you'll tweet this episode or any of the other episodes from our show from Joy's website. And also you can add the Blog Talk Radio player for Heart and Soul directly to your own website or blog. Really, we want to just pass the word and help more and more people hear the wonderful and inspiring guests that we have every week. So we would appreciate your helping us with that. And actually, Jory and I are really excited. We announced last week that we had exceeded the big 5,000 listens to the broadcast since March. And so we want to thank you, too, for your encouragement and support. So Marge, would you say a few words about what we're going to be talking about today, what you're going to be talking about today?
Oh, I'd love to. I'm going to be talking about situations that are a situation that many women find themselves in at midlife. And it is the experience of a lack of joy in their life, a disconnection with those incredible feelings that come with experiencing joy.
Mm. I know a lot of people feel that, particularly at midlife and also at other times in their life. So that's wonderful. Thank you. So before we actually get into the interview with Marge, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about you, the listeners, a little bit about Jory and me, and just give you a little context for the show. Again, I'm Beth Scanzani, and I'm a life, leadership, true purpose, and dream coach from Rockport, Massachusetts. And I have a corporate background also in human resources. Jory Fisher is a calling, career, and true purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia. And she has a background in law and academia and also Christian ministry. Jory and I are both extremely passionate about helping people to discern their life purpose. And we're both professionally trained and highly skilled to do so. This is work that we love, and we work with individuals and groups by telephone and also in person. If you'd like to find out more information about our services, you can email me, Beth Scanzani, that's Beth, B-E-T-H, Scanzani, all one word, S-C-A-N-Z-A-N-I, at AOL.com, or Jory through her website, which is womenfindpurpose.com. And really, our vision for Heart and Soul is to create a place where people like you can be inspired and encouraged and also supported by people who are making a meaningful difference, not only in their own lives, but also in the lives of others. And this you know, it would be a place where you can gain insight into your life purpose, and also how you can express that unique life purpose to the fullest. Jory and I created the show together last March, and our motivation was really our deep desire to fulfill and express our own respective life purposes, both of which includes helping you to discover who you are and how you're meant to use your gifts and talents in the world. So each week we offer a purposeful topic for discussion, usually by way of a guest, like Marge. And we also offer coaching suggestions and quotes to help you really experience and integrate the information and insights that our guests have generously shared. And then we'll talk to you a little bit about our own reflections on purpose, passion, and perseverance as they may relate to the topic at hand. So, why don't we get started, Marge? And, well, there's so many things I could say. There's so many things I could say about you. Marge is a dynamic speaker, as you will hear. She's also a success coach and an author. She coaches and consults with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and sales professionals, and she's absolutely committed to helping entrepreneurs and sales professionals succeed. Marge is a former award-winning sales professional for a Fortune 100 company, and she's learned that the key to success is authenticity, knowing who you are and the unique value that you deliver, being connected to your passion and purpose, and carrying out your dreams and visions for your business and for your life. So Marge is also a dream coach and a trained true purpose coach, and she helps women rediscover and reclaim their authenticity. This reconnection is an essential step toward living the life of your dreams, one with meaning, fulfillment, and joy. And while navigating a period of life transition over 15 years ago, Marge had the profound realization that everything that she was seeking was deep inside of her. Unfortunately, it was locked in a vault, and it was buried so deep that she couldn't reach it. And then in 2007, while navigating her most intense life transition to date, Marge found the keys that unlocked the vault and began to tap into the vast wisdom. And she now teaches others to do that. Marge, is there anything that you'd like to add to that introduction?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Well, interesting, you know, the different experiences that we have in our life. And I've always been one to be really analytical about it and, you know, figure out, okay, this is happening. For what reason? What am I supposed to be learning from this? And it's incredible, you know, what you can learn about yourself and about life and your participation in it when you do that, when you really take that look. But I find that it isn't until we get to these points where, you know, our world is rocked, that we actually stop and take a look at it. The rest of the time, we're going through the motion where most of us are on autopilot through our lives, you know, taking care of all of the obligations and responsibilities that we have to in order to take care of our families and our businesses and all of the other people that we care for. Mm-hmm. So what I find is that I was feeling like my life was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm fighting with everyone, including myself, and I don't remember what happy feels like. In those times when I'm going through, you know, those really difficult times. And I know that in speaking with women and in getting out speaking with them, with large groups of women, I find that it's typical. It's typical at this stage that we call midlife. And they intensify to the level where they can no longer be ignored.
Yeah.
And these are very common for women. But what do you do when you're so frustrated and completely out of touch with joy? Well, I learned while in Provence how to recapture it. And that's what I do now, is I help women to do the same.
Yeah,
but
I can.
Not everyone.
I can so relate to that. Keep going. But boy, I said, oh, gosh,
yeah,
I know
not,
that. Buddy.
Not everyone has the wonderful opportunity to be able to take off and go to Provence like I did. And there's a whole story behind that. But, you know, stepping out of the routine of life and, you know, into a picturesque, magical, you know, new environment certainly does the soul good. I'm going to share some of the experiences, the lessons, more specifically, that I learned from Provence that helped me to recapture my joie de vivre and can help others too.
I can't wait to hear more. You know, I think, like I was saying, I can relate to that, and I consider myself a pretty conscious person. You know, I've done a lot of work and a lot of work on myself, and I still get to those places where I say, if I had a moment, if I just had one moment, I would actually think about this. But I don't have a moment, you know, and I don't feel like it, and I am so caught in whatever it is that's going on in my own life that I don't step back. So I'm really, really excited to hear about your journey to Provence and the lessons that you learned. So you know, it reminds me actually a little bit from our discussions and from what you said, you know, we've got the Eat, Pray, Love journey that a lot of people have heard about. So tell us about the journey. You know, had you planned for it? What happened? How did it happen?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you. Well, Eat, Pray, Love was a wonderful story, but Elizabeth Gilbert made the conscious decision to step away and explore for an entire year. Well, how many people have that opportunity and planned it as beautifully as she did? For most of us, you know, the break we get might be a bubble bath or a massage. For me, I had the opportunity to take a trip to Provence. But you know what? I didn't plan it. It wasn't me saying, oh, I would love to go to Provence. Yes, I had that on my list of things that I wanted to do. It was a heart's desire of mine, but I hadn't planned the trip. What happened was a friend of mine called, who happens to live in the south of France. Her name is Julie, and Julie was an exchange student that my husband and I hosted 7 years prior. And Julie was going through a difficult time. And she called and she said, Marge, I need you. Can you come? Mm. So, of course, I was there in a heartbeat. Well, I must have packed so quickly that I forgot to bring my cell phone charger. My BlackBerry charger was left at home.
Oh, boy.
I know. Can you imagine that? So yeah. I have been a self-employed sales professional for 23 years at that point. So I had never, ever been disconnected from my business in the past. It was always there on my BlackBerry. I could respond to emails, I could delegate what I needed, and I was always connected. So I'm on vacation with my family, I'm connected. I'm you know, at the President's Club retreats that my company was taking me on, I'm, you know, spending a beautiful weekend away, and I'm still connected to everything. So I completely disconnected from my husband, my children, my business during the days. You know, I communicated with my family by Skype at night, but that was it. And it was really incredible because, and I call this my first lesson, it's the power of pause. It's really stepping away from your life and completely disconnecting from the routine of it and with the relationships that are part of your life. And I was fortunate I was able to do it for a week. If you can do it for 3 hours, you know, one Sunday afternoon, that's a great start. If you can do a whole day, that's even better. If you can do a weekend, oh my goodness. you'll start to see some really incredible, some really magical things happen when you spend that time with yourself. So the power of pause is the first lesson, and it's really to provide yourself the opportunity to step away from your life for the purpose of just being with yourself and, you know, using that time for examination and assessment, as well as, you know, benchmarking and goal and dream setting. It's a wonderful time to really connect with what's truly important to you. And pause is so essential for creating a balanced life, but it is rarely practiced.
Right. And, so, and Marge, I have to say, Marge, just before you go further, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but
no.
You know, what's also coming to me from what you're saying is you also must have relied on your intuition about this, because I noticed that what you didn't do was have a charger FedEx to you from the States.
Oh, you absolutely. As soon as I discovered it, I said, yay, I love
exactly,
the
exactly, exactly. Yeah, so here all of a sudden these things happen.
Yeah.
So you must have been in tune enough to know that, okay, this has happened, but you know what, maybe I better go with this because this might just be something that I need.
Oh, and boy, did I need it.
Mm.
I really needed it. And when that hit home for me was when I was on my final flight to Provence. And for the second time in a few hours, I heard the flight attendant's instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And the flight attendant, we're all familiar with this, those who fly, the flight attendant instructs us that when the oxygen mask drops from the ceiling, place it on yourself first before attempting to assist the person beside you. And I really thought about that when I heard it that second time. And I said, wow, because I was finally starting to relax, you know, and I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, what a metaphor for life. And I hadn't put the oxygen mask on myself, meaning made myself, my needs, my desires, my hopes, my dreams, the center of my life. I made the needs, the hopes, and the dreams of everyone else in my life be the center of my life. Yeah. And what ended up happening was I was feeling drained. I was feeling exhausted. I was not connected with joy.
Yeah. I imagine there may be one or two listeners that can relate to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So you mentioned, you know, sort of the first lesson, and I know that there are a number of lessons. I think you have five. Tell us a little bit more about the lessons.
Yeah, the first lesson is the power of pause,
mm-hmm.
And that is stepping consciously, making an effort, an agreement with yourself to step away from your life for a period of time, whatever you can do. Now, mm-hmm. I do find that some people have a difficult time with this. Women especially, it's really interesting that if they're going to step away and do something, they tend to want to do it with a girlfriend or a sister, someone, you know, who they have a very deep, close personal relationship with, as opposed to taking the time for themselves. It's really critical to take the time for yourself. And when I realized this was when I took off and went to the beach by myself one day, and friends looked at me like, you went to the beach by yourself? Family members said the same thing. You went by yourself? Yeah, I went by myself. I wanted to go to the beach. I went by myself. But we don't often do those things that we want to do without someone else being a part of it. So you really need to step back, take this time by yourself, for yourself, to be with yourself, that's how you're able to start to reconnect and rediscover those things about yourself, including your hopes and your dreams and your desires.
I was going to say, with all the, you know, even though it may be fun to go with a girlfriend or with someone else, it is a distraction from mm-hmm. stepping inside. And mm-hmm. so it may be fun, but it's not quite the same thing. It may be fun, it may be relaxing, it may be regenerating, but it is not the same as actually having that quiet time where you start to learn
exactly.
to enjoy your own company.
Yeah, and I did go to Provence to help Julie, so I was with Julie a good amount of the time, but we also had lots of time that we were together where we were with our own thoughts, mm-hmm. that we were just happy to be together, to be next to each other, but we were reconnecting with ourselves at the same time. You know, it wasn't the constant, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know, conversation that we had, you know, that you tend to have with, you know, girlfriends or sisters. Sure, that was going on, but there was a lot of reflective time that we had together, which was really nice. The second lesson is to follow the flight attendant's instruction, to place yourself first in your life, because if you don't do that, then you're not going to be the best person that you can be in order to truly care for those that you love, that you do care for in your life to the best of your ability. So you have to care for yourself first before you can focus your energies on others and truly be of service in the way that you want to be for them.
And I, you know, like you said before, so many people have a hard time doing that. I have clients say to me that, you know, I can't do that. It's selfish. That would be really selfish of me to do that.
Oh my gosh, the guilt. Yes. Yes, there's a lot of guilt. But just think of it this way, that if you're giving yourself, so much of yourself to others, pretty soon you're going to be spent and there isn't going to be any more of you to be able to give. And that is the more selfish decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. But it doesn't feel like that in the moment. But think about it. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to give, you know, 100%, you know, sort of presence, you know, to a family member or a friend and really be there and be energetic and feel balanced and feel good about yourself rather than, you know, being distracted and having other thoughts and feeling like I really should be doing something else and I'm exhausted and I can barely pay attention to you. I'm here, but I'm also going through all this other stuff and I'm exhausted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The friend would much rather have the present you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Your friends, your family.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So we have pause, and we have follow mm-hmm. the flight and attendance instructions. And what's number three?
Oh, well, what happened when I created space for myself in my life, I gained access to the vault. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really cool. I mean, I can't go on to say, you know, all of, you know, the wisdom that that I have gained from that access. But I really focused on, or I was able to focus on, what are the things in my life that bring me joy. And when I did that, I made a list of all of those things. These are all the things in my life that bring me joy. And it was a mental list. I didn't write it down, but I do recommend that to the women that I coach that they write it down, that they make this list, because it's really profound. And I did make the list once I got back and really reflected on my time in Provence. Because all of this was happening and I didn't quite realize what was happening. So when I journaled after the trip is when I came to, you know, all of these realizations. But write it down. Write down all of the things that you love, all of the things that have brought you joy in your life. And really connect back with those. You know, get back into those moments. Re-experience those moments. And they're going to bring you to tears.
Yeah.
They really are, because they're such magical moments. And when you do that, you recognize how much, or I did anyway, how much they were missing, or how much I missed them. How much they were lacking, their presence in my life. It's really profound when I do this with clients. And then we switch gears. And, you know, once you've connected with all of that wonderful stuff, you have to connect with the stuff that's not so wonderful. And so I call the connecting with the wonderful stuff the third lesson, which is following your bliss. Mm. Follow your bliss. Do that which brings you happiness and live your life with passion.
Yeah. I know Mark, you're familiar with the term passion quest. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Passion quest, going on a passion quest. So if this is a passion quest, I view as certainly a way to figure out what it is you're passionate about, because there are some women who don't have a conscious recollection of moments in their lives when they have felt passionate. So I recommend going on a passion quest, and a passion quest is simply doing things that, you know, you might read about, you've never done before. So doing things you've never done before, and also doing things that you would never in your wildest dreams imagine ever doing. So it's saying yes to things that interest you, but it's also saying yes to things that might seem peculiar to you. Things that you wouldn't ordinarily say yes to. And just go with the flow. Experience it. See what that's like for you. It's pretty cool. You know, clients learn some really amazing things about themselves when they do that. It's stepping outside of your comfort box.
Yeah.
And we tend to like to stay in that box, but venture out.
Yeah, and the reason I was thinking about that is because you were when you're talking about getting in touch with your joy, you know, sometimes people have created such distance between themselves and their joy that if you say, you know, write down a list of things that make you joyful, they really can't come up with much. And so
yeah.
I was wondering if something like a passion quest might help them get back in touch with the things that they love.
Oh, absolutely. And I also do a breathing exercise with my clients to help them to really settle and, to become centered and grounded and to connect with their heart. And when they do that, those memories do come back. The connection to those memories is made. It's a really cool process.
Yeah,
it's
so really there's another that reinforces absolutely what you were saying before. When you pause.
Yes.
When you pause.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, don't we all just drive through life with, you know, the speedometer at 90? You know, we're doing so many things and being so many different, playing so many different roles for so many different people in our lives, that we get caught up in that.
Yeah.
It's hard to pause. It really is hard to pause. So follow your bliss is the third lesson For many women, life's challenges and responsibilities take them far away from feelings of joy. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, the simple practices that Beth and I just talked about that you can implement in order to be able to begin to reconnect with those moments of joy or create new ones.
Great.
So that's the third lesson.
And number four?
Number four. Now, this is an interesting one. What's so interesting about this one is that I laughed when I reflected on it and discovered it. It's called the exquisiteness of imperfection. And I realized when reflecting on my trip that I was so intrigued by the imperfections in the landscape of Provence, for example. We're in this just absolutely beautiful setting. Julie has this beautiful garden area. She lives in the city, but their apartment, at the back of their apartment is this beautiful courtyard that is theirs because they have the first floor apartment. And it was gorgeous. They have beautiful gardens out there. And so we're sitting at this, you know, the table that's underneath a pergola that is draped with grapes. And, oh, my gosh, it was just so incredible. But I looked around, and there were so many things that I looked at and said, well, isn't that odd that, you know, there's peeling paint on the shutters? Or, you know, there's, you know, all of these, you know, cracks in the concrete. Well, the buildings are hundreds and hundreds of years old, you know. And just all of these imperfections. And I marveled at them. There was also, you know, moss growing in fountains. And I giggled when I saw it because it was really comical the way it was presented. But no one went up to it with, you know, bleach and water to get rid of that moss. Mm-hmm. They embraced it and they accepted it. And it made me really think about how darn hard I work in my life and my business to create the perception of perfection. I wouldn't allow a shutter in on my house that needed to be scraped and painted. I would scrape and paint it, make sure it got done. I would, you know, smooth over those surfaces that had cracks. I didn't allow for those imperfections in my life. And it made me really think about what's important. Is it important? No, because look at the incredible character that these things provide to the ambiance, the location, the area that they're in, and how magnificent are they? And it really made me focus on the magnificent, the exquisiteness of imperfection and accept it. It's huge.
Yeah, I love that. I think about art. You know, people don't paint things that are perfect. They, you know, the paintings that we love have a little quirkiness. They have a little imperfection. They, you know, they're interesting. They, like you said, they have character or something that's different about them. I love that. That's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah, but women tend to really, well, a lot of women that I know tend to focus on making sure that the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, and everything appears to be perfect.
Absolutely.
But it's a disconnection with authenticity. It's a disconnection with reality.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. All right. So are we ready for number five?
Yes. Number five is...
Number five.
Know your talents. Know your talents. As soon as women create a vision of their ideal life, an unexpected guest pays a visit. And it's actually usually several guests, and I'm going to talk about them a little bit more with actually lesson number 6. So know your talents. When I connected with all of the things that brought me joy, I actually recognized that there were some really incredible things that were going on at that time, and there were talents about myself that I possess that I didn't know about, or I completely took for granted, didn't think that there was anything special about them because they came so easily for me. And that happens for so many women, that we don't see ourselves as talented and magnificent and extraordinarily gifted like other people see us. And when I did the reflection, I was able to discover those things that people saw in me that I always questioned. I always questioned them. I thought, wow, I'm really pulling the wool over their eyes. They think I'm so spectacular, you know? And, how could that possibly be? But I connected with those talents. We all have amazing talents, wonderful things to offer. And when we feel lost and disconnected from those talents, we need to reconnect with them. We need to, make this list, have it somewhere that you can refer to it when you have those days when you're feeling quite disconnected from them.
Wow. Absolutely. There's an author by the name of Robert Johnson who wrote a book called Inner Gold. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Marge. And it talks about projection and how we often not only do we make unconscious some of the things that we don't like about ourselves, but along the way we also make unconscious some of our greatest gifts.
Absolutely.
And yeah, absolutely. So people think, well, when I do this inner work, I'm going to come up with all kinds of nasty, awful stuff, and I'm not going to be able to deal with it. Well, you know what? That's where our greatest gifts are, too. And so he calls it inner gold. And one of the things that he says is that when we're ready to bring these parts of ourselves back, we'll find ourselves really enamored with someone else who has that quality.
Yes.
And it's really a way of sort of mirroring to ourselves that part of ourselves, our greatest gifts, as you said, that we've lost touch with.
That we don't acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost touch with and we don't acknowledge in ourselves. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the next lesson is actually, so that was lesson number 5, know your talents, and embrace and accept your talents. But the next lesson is the biggest lesson of all, and it is called Why Not?
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting. This is what happened for me. The last day, I'd gone through this whole process, this whole reflective process, the entire week. And the last day of the trip, Julie and I mentioned that she was an exchange student, and Julie is also a gifted photographer and artist. And so that last day, we're sitting on this seawall in the most picturesque town of Cassis. And we were just marveling at this magnificent view. And as we were doing it, we were just drinking it in. I mean, it was just so incredible. And it was a very peaceful, reflective afternoon. And, we were getting ready to part. And, there was some sadness there, too. And all of a sudden, this vision popped into my head. And it was a vision of me, little old Marge Piccini, standing on a big stage. There were thousands of people in the audience, and I was engaging and inspiring them. And I freaked out. And I like shook to consciousness. You know how you just, woo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at Julie, and it scared me. It really scared me. And I said to Julie, oh, my goodness, you are not going to believe this vision that just popped into my head. And I shared it with her. And she said, oh, I can picture you up on a big stage someday. And I looked at her, and I said, you have got to be kidding me. At this point in my life, I was frightened, very frightened, to speak in front of groups. I could do, around a conference table. That was fine. That was my comfort zone. But thousands of people, oh, no, you're not getting me there. No way. And she said, oh, I can see you there. I could see that. And I looked at her, and I said, you have got to be kidding me. And her response was, why not? And I responded to her, Julie, really, what could I possibly have to say that hasn't already been said? And she looked at me and she said, Marge, look at this magnificent landscape. Do you know how many photographers have stood at the same spot and photographed this same view? Do you know that not one of those photographs looks the same? What an artist does is to take the ordinary, imprint it with their personality, and create something extraordinary. Well, Julia was 24 years old at the time, and she blew me away with those words. But what she did in that moment was to give me permission. She gave me the permission to believe that that was possible.
Yeah.
And
wow.
and I accepted it. And it was pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. So now that's a very common question that I ask myself when I'm faced with a decision. Why not? Especially one that makes me so uncomfortable. Why not? Why not me? And why not today? So when I have brilliant ideas that pop into my head, I ask those questions. And it helps me to step completely out of my comfort zone. And that is where I have connected with my brilliance, and that's where most people connect with theirs.
Yeah. Wow. What a trip, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, so often we come yeah. up with all the reasons why we couldn't, wouldn't, and shouldn't, just like I did for Julie.
Yeah.
Me? You've got to be kidding. And these thoughts overpower us, and they sabotage our dreams and our visions for our lives.
Could
you just imagine how different some people's lives would be if they simply asked, why not? Why not?
I absolutely can imagine. I'll tell a little story a little bit later that's related to that, exactly that. Why not? That's great.
Mm.
I love it. So you had this amazing trip and all these insights in Provence, and then you came home. What happened?
Mm. Well, it's really interesting. You know, the timing of that trip is just so perfect. You know, the power of the universe, it's just incredible. What happened when I returned was, within a couple of weeks, my industry crashed. Mm. I was formerly employed, had my own business, very successful business, in the mortgage industry. And it happened, you know, much sooner for us than it did, you know, the rest of the majority of the rest of the occupants, citizens of the United States. So, it started at that point. And it was as though, I got the message, the insight that, you know, that vision that you had in Provence, well, you got it for a reason. And the timing was perfect. And it was really incredible. So, you know, go forth and, you know, start moving into this. And that's what I started to do. And what was really incredible is the following week, I'm sorry, a couple of weeks later, I was asked to speak to a group of women. And again, I was really nervous about this. There are going to be 45 to 50 women at this networking event. I was asked to contribute about 20 minutes, and I was going to be speaking on college funding. Well, coming back from my trip from Provence, I was not very inspired to speak about college funding. So I shared with the organizer that, you know, gee, I recently took this trip and, you know, I had some really profound insights and learned some really amazing things and I'd really love to be able to share them with the women in attendance. Now, this from someone who was comfortable speaking to people around a conference table. So I was embracing that challenge and it was really amazing. It was the first time that I ever put myself in the position of appearing vulnerable, showing my vulnerability, sharing my vulnerability to others publicly. And I have to tell you, it was profound. I had women coming up to me afterwards, just sharing how they loved my talk. One woman even said, "You touched my soul," which was the most incredible compliment that I could have ever received. And it was then that I knew that this was my new life path, that I wasn't going to be speaking about anything, you know, related to my my current industry, my current business, that it was going to be these lessons that I learned from Provence and have been stepping into that ever since.
Yeah, that's wonderful, and such a wonderful point that you made about vulnerability. We all think that we have to be perfect in front of people, and in fact, what's most powerful is who we really are, which is the exquisite imperfection, including all vulnerability.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love
that.
So, you know, we talk a lot about life purpose on this show, and Marge and I actually have worked on a small team together around the subject of life purpose. So would you just say a little bit about what your life purpose is, Marge?
Oh, I would be very happy to. My life purpose is to help women to rediscover and reclaim their authenticity, to reconnect with who they really are. We get so disconnected from that, from all of our, you know, our, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is exactly Provence.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was while I was in Provence that I connected with, you know, a general description of my purpose and have been, you know, rediscovering it and experiencing it at a much deeper level, growing into it, if you will, you know, it has, as time has progressed. And it's magnificent. You know, it's so funny. There are people that I haven't seen in years that I have been seeing recently, and they all say to me, "Oh, my goodness, you look amazing. And, you know, what have you done?" And well, I haven't had any plastic surgery, so I haven't needed that yet, which is nice. But what they really notice is the brilliant sparkle in my eyes. And it is that the recapturing of my joy for life, and that happened when I connected deeply with my purpose, and I owned it.
Yeah.
I owned it. I'm growing into it.
I am always struck, even though it happens over and over again, I'm always struck how when people discover what their life purpose is and they step into that, they look back and they see that their lessons in life, are so tied into and aligned with their purpose. They can really see those threads and how they weave the fabric. And if I look at the things that you just said, pause, you know, get to know yourself,
mm-hmm.
You know, follow your bliss. Follow the flight attendants' instructions to take care of yourself first, and then follow your bliss and the exquisiteness of imperfections, my individual uniqueness as a human being. Know my talents and embrace them. And then why not? Go do it. Go be it. I
exactly.
love that.
Exactly.
Mm. Oh,
thank you.
Right. Yeah, it's just perfect and imperfect. So we're going to have to start to move to a close. I'd love to continue the conversation. It's just so rich and so wonderful. I love talking to you, Marge. And I guess people are going to want to get in touch with you, I imagine, to learn more about the work you do. And I know that you also have a teleclass coming up. So will you talk just for a minute about that and also about how people can get in touch with you?
Oh, wonderful. I'd be very happy to. The best way to get in touch with me is through my website. It is www.marge, M-A-R-G-E, Piccini, P-I-C-C-I-N-I.com. And I would be very happy to connect with you. You can also connect with me on Facebook. It's Marge Piccini is my page. And I'd be very happy to connect. I'm also on LinkedIn. It's LinkedIn Marge Piccini. Just do a simple search for me. And I'm doing a free class on January 6th. In the evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which would be 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And the program is called Recapturing Your Joie de Vivre. And I'm going to talk about these lessons, not in as much detail as I did on this call. So this call would be, a great primer, I guess, for the call on January 6th. But I'm also going to talk about some of the steps that I take my clients through to help them to recapture their joie de vivre and, some of the practices that I teach them as well that help them to reconnect with themselves. And so it'll be a fun evening. It's an hour call. And to find out more about it, go to my website and click on coaching. Mm-hmm. And right there at the top is the link for the teleclass.
Excellent. Sounds wonderful. And Marge, you've also offered to share a coaching suggestion with the listeners. Would you tell us about that?
Yes. Yes, the coaching suggestion is I call it my nighttime ritual. This is the very first tool that I share with my clients. And what I find is that when they come to me, and this is very common, so it applies to people who, I don't work with specifically, that women in midlife, there's so much that's going on. And Dr. Christiane Northrup has a beautiful quote in her, or sentence, I should say, in her book, The Wisdom of Menopause. Mm-hmm. And I'm paraphrasing it, so I'm not quoting it directly, but it's something like this. Midlife is a time in a woman's life when her soul calls her to give birth to herself. And because this is happening, it's rocking us. It's throwing everything into, a bit of energetic chaos, if you will, and it's like, which way am I going? Where do I go? What do I want? What's going on? There's all of this that's going on, as well as all of the hormonal stuff that's happening inside. So women come to me, and they're having either difficulty falling asleep or difficulty staying asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So this nighttime ritual helps them to go to sleep and have peaceful sleep and have full sleep, to get a full night's sleep. So it is simply to breathe deeply often. we're in a stressed state when all of this is happening, and when we're stressed, breathing is shallow, and it doesn't fill the lungs adequately, and therefore, the capacity of the body and the mind are compromised. So the second is to create a journal and put it into practice every day. And I recommend these three sections, and it's perfect for this to follow the breathing exercise. So the three sections are gratitude, happiness, and pride. And it should take place in the evening just before you go to bed. And for complete instructions, you can download your free copy of Marge's Nighttime Ritual from my website, www.margepiccini.com. And you want to click on Life.
That's great. That's great. And I know Jory will have that up on her website as well. That's great. Thank you so much. I actually downloaded that myself.
So. Oh, wonderful. Let me know how it goes.
Within
7 days, my clients report, you know, the next week, you know, for our coaching session, they report an incredible difference in the way they feel. They have much greater clarity, focus, and energy.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, I want to make sure that, you know, our listeners know that we do, you know, each week we do offer these coaching suggestions and these fabulous guests like Marge. And we hope that you'll also send us your suggestions for topics and guests, and that you'll try out the coaching suggestions, and that you'll join us each week. You can either join us online in the chat room, or you can call us. The number again is 347-326-9296. And Jory's website is jory@womenfindpurpose.com, or my email is bethscanzani, S-C-A-N-Z-A-N-I, @AOL.com. I want to say a word for a moment about our next edition of Heart and Soul next week, as we're quickly running out of time. Would you like to be the CEO of your physical, financial, and emotional life? Jory and I are going to talk next week with Master Coordinator Jennifer Glacken and Senior Director Mary Pat Abbott, who are both living on purpose while operating their own home-based business with Shackley. And Shackley is a leading provider of premium quality natural nutrition, personal care, and green cleaning products. So through social marketing, Shackley offers an economic opportunity to anyone regardless of their background or experience, and has paid more than $4 billion in commissions to independent distributors worldwide for over 50 years now. So Shackley is always hiring, and Mary Pat and Jennifer are going to talk more about that next week. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Heart and Soul with Beth Scanzani, a life, leadership, and true purpose coach, also a dream coach from Rockport, Massachusetts. And we missed you, Jory. Jory, again, is a calling, career, and true purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia. And our lovely, passionate guest, Marge Piccini from South Windsor, Connecticut. And Marge, we'd like to leave with a quote. Would you do the honors?
Oh, I would love to. Thank you so much. This inspiring quote is by Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
I love that. I love that. All right. Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Marge. Thanks for being with us today. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Beth.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.